You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. It's so neat to know that Corey and Katie have the second best marriage here. Amen. Because everybody knows that his mother and dad have the best marriage here. And I hope you feel that about yours. But let me just amen and encourage you to go ahead and consider signing up for Grace Marriage. Brother Brad's going to be here next week, and then the following Sunday, Corey and I are going to begin a new series about the family. So we're going to take a couple of months and talk about family and preach on our families again. You can just never talk too much about family. Everybody agree? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and stand and open to the book of Philippians chapter 3, because we're starting a new series next week that Brad's kicking off. This morning, we're just going to preach a standalone sermon, and we're going to preach it from Philippians chapter 3. You're going to be reading verses 10 through 14. You know that Brother Ricky doesn't like to start in the middle of a book, because he always likes to give you the context, but we've been through Philippians several times, and I think most of you do know the context of the book of Philippians, so we're going to take a few verses out of the book of Philippians. It is the first day of a brand new year, and if you're like me, you were tempted to read a new motivational book to get ready for this year. Possibly you decided to pick up a new magazine, maybe Men's Health. I gave in and did, I promise. They had this picture of this guy, which I would like to look like this guy. The magazine promised me I could lose my belly fat this year, so I bought the magazine. So I guess next year we'll know if the magazine was worth me paying $11.95 to learn how to lose belly fat. You know, we're all tempted, aren't we? As 2016 comes to an end, to start thinking about 2017 and how in some ways we would like our life to be different. But you know, instead of turning to a Men's Health magazine or turning to a motivational book, I just want to challenge us this morning in 2017 to turn more to the Word of God. And not realize what we want in life. By turning more to the Word of God, perhaps realizing more what God desires for us. This morning, we're not going to preach a sermon that's going to add years to your life, but I would like to preach a message that might help add some life to this year for you, 2017. If I was to title this message, it would be this: Stand Up and Out in 2017. I pray that I can pastor a church that truly stands up and out in 2017. I pray I can be that type of Christian, therefore helping Hardin be a church that stands up and out in 2017. Would you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, reading from the English Standard Version. That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Father, one more time we come before you, asking you to guide us as we open your word and begin 2017 here at Hardin Baptist Church. We thank you for this holiday season that we've celebrated. Man, just right off the bat, we want to thank you for Coach being here this morning. I mean, it looked like he would miss Christmas with his family when he had his heart attack, and yet, wow, got home Christmas Eve. And now look at him. He's beginning the first Sunday of a brand new year with us here at Hardin. Father, thank you for him. And Father, we thank you that if he hadn't pulled through, man, he'd be in heaven at this very hour. And Father, we thank you that our other friend, Kelly, he isn't here this morning. He is in heaven because it was your plan to call him home this week. So, Father, we start this new year just with a church that's in so many different places. But, Father, we thank you for the hope of the gospel, and we thank you for this church family and how that we rally around those that are ours. And so, Father, for just a few moments here, I want you to let us lay aside 2016. And let us just think ahead from your scripture just a little bit. Father, hold our thoughts captive. Don't let us be distracted. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Hey, would you guys do me a favor as you take your seat? Would you just imagine this morning it's just me and you? Let's just imagine we're at a restaurant. We're in a booth, and it's literally just you and I talking. You know, isn't it amazing how you can go to a restaurant, be in a booth with someone you love, and TVs can be blaring, couples can be talking all around you, and you never know anyone's there. And the next thing you know, the waiter or the waitress is bringing your check, and that dining experience is over, and you can't believe it's time to go home. I'm praying we can have that kind of experience this morning. Just me and you in a casual conversation as we begin 2017. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know him. I get asked many, many times by people. Sometimes people assume I know someone and they'll begin a conversation with me, or they'll change the conversation by saying, you know so-and-so, and then they'll begin to tell me things about so-and-so, and I have to stop and go, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know so-and-so the way you think I know so-and-so. If you knew how I knew so-and-so, you wouldn't be telling me what you're telling me about so-and-so. I really don't know so-and-so. Now, I will admit, I know of so-and-so, but I don't know so-and-so. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? You got it? Remember, I'm just talking to you, so I need every one of you to answer me. It's possible to know about someone. It's possible to know of someone and yet at the same time say, I don't know them. You got to answer me this question. Which one of those knowings describes you and your knowledge of Christ? Do you know about him? I mean, you can tell me his birth date. You can tell me how old he was when he died. You know his parents' name. You know he had some brothers. You know he did some real cool things. You knew he got himself killed. He was buried. Hey, you even know he rose again. And you even know right now he's seated at the right hand of God. in your brain, you know about Jesus. Or maybe you don't even know that much about him, but you know of him. I mean, you know this guy named Jesus, and he's changed a lot of other people's life, and you've heard them talk about a relationship with him and how he does this and how he does that for them. But when you hear that, you know you don't know him. You just know of him. I mean, how many of you, instead of having a brain knowledge of Jesus, you experientially know him? You have an intimate relationship with him. And the intimacy with him right now is at such a level that you can't imagine it being even more intimate, but you really desire your relationship to get more intimate. That's what Paul's expressing. That I may know him. Paul knows he's in a saving relationship with Christ. He knows there's a certain level of intimacy he has, but he wants to go to the deepest level of intimacy with Christ possible. See, we're using the word know here, kind of like Genesis did when it says Adam knew his wife and she conceived. There was an intimacy there. You remember when God, through the prophet Amos, said to the nation of Israel, "You only of all the families on the earth have I known." God knew facts about all the other nations of the earth. He knew of all the other nations of the earth, but Israel was the only nation he had an intimate relationship with. He was theirs, they were his. Do you know him? Now my question is, do you have a desire to know him even more? Or are you just satisfied? Are you complacent at this moment in your walk with Christ? Paul wasn't. He said, "Man, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be like him in his death, that I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead." Now before we get sidetracked here, please note that if we were reading this in our Greek New Testaments, there are two different words here for resurrection in verse 10 and verse 11. The word for resurrection literally means to stand up. But in verse 11, it's not the normal word for resurrection to stand up. It's a word for resurrection that has a preposition out with it. And so in verse 11, what Paul's wanting to attain is a resurrection from the dead where he stands up and out from the dead. I want to give you a hint here. I do not believe in the context, and I do not believe theologically you can make this mean Paul was hoping one day his physical body was resurrected from the grave when he died. It's not what Paul's talking about. That's a certainty, amen, if you're a believer in Christ. But I want you to catch this. Paul wanted to know Christ in such an intimate way that the life he lived caused his life to look like he not only was standing up, being alive, but when he stood up, he stood out from all those who were spiritually dead. Did everybody catch that? Generally, the position of dead people is they lie. Alive people stand up. But the Apostle Paul wanted to live a life to where he didn't just stand up among the dead. He wanted to stand up and stand out. In other words, he wanted his life to catch the attention of others. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Could we dare to dream that in 2017? Could you dare to dream that dream with me in 2017? That you and I, yes, just you and I, just the one I'm talking to, because I'm just talking to you, I'm not talking to anybody else, just you. Could you and I, two of us, dream a dream big enough in 2017, not based on men's health, or Tolkien, or C.S. Lewis, or John Piper, or John MacArthur, but the Word of God. And that's in 2017, we will stand up and out. How are we going to accomplish that? We've got to develop an intimate relationship with Christ. Now, in this intimate relationship with Christ that we're talking about, we're going to be so intimate with him that we're actually desiring the power of his resurrection. You do know that in Ephesians, Paul prayed a prayer for the Ephesians church that they might know and understand that the same power that God reached down and raised Jesus and brought him back to life with is the same power that he reached down and spiritually brought you to new life with. Do you guys understand that? Do you understand that when you were born again, God used the same power to raise you to new life that he used to raise Jesus to life? And guess what Paul's saying here? I want to know that power. Not a one-time power when I got saved. I want to experience the power of his resurrection every day of my life. And Paul knew that to truly experience that resurrection power, he had to be willing to also be a partner in Christ's sufferings. Oh. Christ suffered for sin, didn't he? How is it in this new age we live in, somehow the church is trying to separate Christianity from suffering? And yet here's the Apostle Paul wanting to suffer. Because he felt like that if he suffered, he shared in the sufferings of Christ. And to know the full power of his resurrection life, he had to understand and share also in his suffering. Thus, he'd be conformed to his death. Are you guys with me? You still with me? Because I'm just talking to you. Can I be totally honest with you? If you and I decide in 2017, like the Apostle Paul, to live a life that stands up and out, there'll be suffering. Not because of your sin, but because of other sins. Christ did not suffer for his sin. Agreed? He suffered for other sins. I just got to be totally honest with you. I think God and Christ hate sin. It's just me and you. Do you agree with me? Because God and Christ see what sin does to others. The longer I pastor this church, the more I hate sin. I am so tired of the stories. Marriage is broken, lives broken, families broken, businesses broken. Because of sin. See, in 2017, if you and I really stand up and stand out, but yet share in the sufferings of Christ, you'll not only hate pornography because of what it done to your buddy, you'll so hate it that you'll stay away from it yourself. You'll so hate what unfaithfulness did to your buddy or to your sister or your mom or your dad that you'll hate it so bad you'll stay faithful. You get it. The reason some of us don't hate sin, the reason some of us are flirting with sin at this very moment, the reason some of us are hiding sin at this very moment is because we don't know Christ. We're not walking in the power of His raised life. No. That intimacy with Him will keep you from that sin. But you're letting the sin keep you from having intimacy with Him. And you desire the sin more than you desire the intimacy. And just to be totally honest, that's why you blend in. True. I mean, you go to work and you look how everybody else looks. You go to a ball game and you like everybody else looks. Where's the believers that are truly standing up and out? Because they're being motivated by a lie that's lived in intimacy with Christ. That's what Paul desires. Don't you look what he says? He says, I haven't arrived yet. Man, if I'm going to vote somebody that's arrived, it's the Apostle Paul. Amen. And yet when he stood before the mirror of God's word, he realized that he hadn't even attained this yet to where he's fully standing up and standing out the way he desires to. And why does he have this desire? Because here's what he says. He believes that God laid hold of him for a purpose, and he's now trying to lay hold of that purpose for which God has laid hold of him. Now, I had to read this several times in my ESV because I read the New King James before I read the ESV, and then I read the Old King James before I read the New King James. And those have been my three Bibles, Old King James, New King James, then ESV. ESV says, Paul says, I haven't made it my own yet. Because Christ has made me His own, I'm trying to make it my own. And I'm going, okay, now hold it. Why does the New King James say, Paul's saying, I haven't laid hold of yet what Christ has laid hold of me for, and yet the ESV comes along and translates this as, I don't own it yet. Haven't made it my own yet. We got this little saying in America that possession is what? 9/10 of the law, right? When you got it in your hands, it's yours. And here's what Paul's saying. He believes that Christ laid His hand on him and owns him. But when He laid His hands on him to own him, He did it for a purpose. And now Paul's trying to lay hands on for his very own, the very purpose God has for him. Wow. Doesn't that change things? I mean, let's be honest. If Christ has a hold of me and I belong to Him, but the very reason He made me His is because there's something I'm supposed to make mine, and that's the reason He laid a hold of me so I'd get a hold of that, then that's what I'm pursuing. That ought to be my priority in 2017. That ought to be the priority of my life, is laying hold of what God laid hold of me for. And the very reason why I'm not standing up and standing out is because I don't have my hands around it yet. And don't you have the same problem I've got? Now, and that's just me and you. Nobody else is going to hear this. Just me and you. Don't you have the same problem I have? Getting your hands around that. And making it your own. Because you know that was the very reason why Christ pursued you. Was he had a purpose. And he had a plan for you. So in 2017, let's quit living the way we're living. And let's live on purpose. Let's live with the ultimate power. Let's go for the ultimate prize. And that's to just get our hands around this so that we own what Christ owns us for. Now, Paul's not discouraged. I mean, he's telling us he's not there yet, but he says, hey, I'm pressing toward it. I'm desiring for it. So this one thing I do, all I want you to do in 2017 is do the one thing I'm going to do. We're only going to do one thing in 2017. Got it? And here's what the one thing is. We're going to forget those things that lie behind and strain forward to those things that lie ahead and press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. If we're going to lay hold of this year, we got to forget what lies behind us. You are letting your past paralyze you. You know you are. You know you are. Yes, you failed. Yes, you've done the unthinkable. Yes, you messed up. A lot of people been hurt. You got to forget what lies in your past. We're not talking about erasing our mind. But we're talking about you making a conscious effort that every time this year you want to look back, you say no. Because you're running toward the goal. And the runner running toward the goal, when he's looking back, he's losing his stride. He's losing his focus. He loses second. They have timed runners in races who look back or look around, and they have shown them the seconds they lose. And sometimes Olympic-level races are lost in hundreds of seconds. You know the famous race between Roger Bannister and John Landy. Roger Bannister was the first one to break a 4-minute mile. They were racing in Canada in the British Games. And Tom Landry took out ahead. Roger Bannister's plan was on the third lap to lay back. And as he lay back, Landry sped up, and as Landry sped up, the distance grew. The bell lap came, And suddenly Bannister began to make up ground. As they were nearing the finish line, the crowd was roaring, and Landy could not hear the footsteps of Roger because of the noise of the crowd. And instead of reaching toward the tape, he turned to look over his shoulder. And when he did, he was passed. And he lost the race. Many of us are losing out on life because we keep looking back. It's not all in failure. Some of us look back because of how good the past was. Some of us have actually believe our best days are behind us. Our successes, our victories. And we're just coasting. We're just complacent. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. You know what lies ahead of you? What lies ahead of you is the goal. The goal is to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of you. And as you lay hold of it, guess what? You get the prize of the upward call of God. What is the upward call of God? Romans 8. We've all been called what? According to his purpose. For those whom he what? Foreknew, he what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among his brethren. You get it, don't you? You know what that call, that upward call is? That upward call is a call that's guaranteeing one day you're going to be just like God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, most of us are waiting for that to happen at the resurrection of Christ, but what Paul's laying before our eyes right here and right now, if we can just reach the goal, if we can just wrap our hands around, be dedicated to what God laid his hands on us for, then ultimately we reap the prize. The prize of reaching the goal is we are being conformed to the image of his son. And as you're being conformed to the image of his son, guess what happens? You stand up and you stand out in a world around you where people do not know Christ. I really, in 2017, want to lose my belly fat. But what I really want to lose in 2017 is anything in my life that's preventing me from looking like God's Son, Jesus Christ. I don't just want to stand up. I don't want to just be alive anymore. I want to stand up and stand out. How about you? 2017. Will you get your eye off your rearview mirror? And will you look through the windshield of God's Word? And will you stretch it out in 2017? The goal is closer than you think. Let's stretch for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we're going to open up our service now. Father, in my one-on-one conversation with a lot of people this morning, I saw a lot of tears, I saw a lot of hurt, I saw a lot of pain, and yet I saw hope. So Father, right now, for that person that I sensed while we were talking, they shared with me through just their expressions that they want to know you more deeply. We want to know your power to the point that we know it's going to involve suffering. Not suffering for our sin, but suffering because of other people's sin. Even to the point that some of us, like Paul, will be persecuted. Not because of our sin, but other sin. But Father, we have a desire to stand up and stand out. Because we know, we just believe down deep in our being that there's more to life than what we're living. You got a purpose. You got a purpose for me. And you got a purpose for them. And Father, we just hadn't quite grasped it yet. We just hadn't quite laid our hands on it. We can feel it. Some of us, it's on our fingertips. Some of it's in our palm. Some of us, we've just about got it to our breast. But we're not fully there yet. So, Father, right now, we're going to forget what lies in the past. And we're going to believe you've got a plan for me this year. And that plan may look different than it looked last year. But ultimately, it's about me accomplishing my purpose. And that's becoming more like Jesus. So then every situation of my life, every moment with every person, I stand up and out. And then ultimately point them to Christ. People who know about and people who know of Jesus really need to know people who know him so they can know they only know about and only know of. And Father, that's the kind of life you want us to live. Father, right now we're just going to open up the invitation for anyone who wants to slip down here to these steps and fall on their faces before you and say in 2017, my priority is going to be living by the word. Not by a health plan, not by a food plan, not by a business plan. So instead of going to the gym, well, I may still go to the gym, but I'm also going to go to the Word. While I'm cutting back on calories, I'm going to try to cut back on some things in my life that I know are a distraction. They're slowing me down spiritually. Hey, come on, guys. While we were talking, I got the sense from you that this is a decision you wanted to make. But you want to live victoriously. You want to live faithfully in 2017. How many of you will say, I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to strain forward. I'm going to stretch forward. I'm going to be that runner reaching for the tape. Because I'm going to lay my hands on what Christ laid his hands on me for. And all along, receiving the prize that God's making you more and more and more into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Anyone else want to come? Father, thank you for this one-on-one chat as we begin 2017. Thank you for this passage that gives me hope. Because I know I haven't arrived. But Paul said, those of us who are mature, he wants us to think like him. So I want to be mature. I want to think like him. So I'm going to follow his example. And Father, he talked about the others who hadn't, won't have this desire, but he prayed that God would reveal it to them. But for all of us, whatever we've attained, not to go backwards, but at least hang on to where we're at. But oh, Father, create faith in us this morning to just quit hanging on and be ready to take that next step and to truly believe you want us to be like Christ, so that one day when we sit down at the family table in heaven, all the honor and glory goes to the head of the table, and that'll be Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help us now in every day, every moment of 2017 to stand up and stand out for your honor and your glory. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.